You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. It is the middle of the week. For me, it is another short week. Oh, National Guard, the Army calls on Friday this month, and we are still scheduled to go through a drill. So I will be out on Friday. I will not be recording an episode again due to that. And yeah, so let's start getting into some of this stuff here that's been going on down, because we have something that we need to talk about today. And there's not many people that know this about me, but I am a Philadelphia Eagles fan. And I have been pretty much all my life. Going back to my extended family on my mom's side, all live in southern New Jersey, about 45 minutes to an hour away from the Eagles Stadium. They are all Eagle fans. And when they found out that I was interested in football at, you know, 6, 7 years old, they started sending me all sorts of Eagles attire and everything else, and basically made an Eagles fan out of me. And my mom and dad were Redskin fans, and I lived at the time in the, just like about an hour south of D.C. in Northern Virginia, Nova. And it was, let's just say there were many times when I was running for my life from all the Redskin fans that wanted to lynch the Eagles. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. Anyways, so I've been a lifelong Eagles fan. The Eagles are my favorite team. When they won the Super Bowl, it was a dream come true. Years and years in the making. So, DeSean Jackson, who is back in Philadelphia, entering his second year back, 33 years old, has been one of the most dynamic, explosive receivers in the NFL during this time period, you know, this last couple decades. His speed and quickness and savvy and everything that he does as a receiver is literally based around his speed is phenomenal. All right, so he's been one of the better receivers in the league. From his time in Philadelphia, moving on into Washington and Tampa Bay, and now back. And Grant, don't get me wrong, Eagles fans like me, I know we were thrilled to have him back. All right. He is that much of a dynamic threat. But last year, he missed 13 games due to injuries. He could not stay healthy. And so he watched a lot last year. When he was on the field, he and Carson Wentz had this explosive chemistry. That was literally insane. The Washington Redskins game, week one, look no further than that to show just how good those two were together. All right, so yes, when I say yesterday, I should probably start with Monday night. DeSean Jackson posts quotes that he thought were from Hitler. Yes, that Hitler, the Adolf Hitler, the socialist leader in Germany. That one. These were very, very anti-Semitic quotes. These were extremely hateful quotes, basically accusing America of having a secret, of keeping a secret. And the secret was built by white Jews trying to hide the fact that the real people of Israel, the real people, children of God, are black people. So, upon doing some research, because I wasn't sure initially that this was entirely a Hitler quote, I did some research on what the heck this was. And I found some real scammy, sketchy-looking websites that were discussing this and talking about it as though it was fact. And when I say scamming, looking, you know, we're talking about 2005 looking websites. Remember ESPN? What that website used to look like? Yeah, think of something kind of like that. An HTML, very basic. Here's the information. Now you need to believe it website. They talk about this, and that supposedly Hitler was all about bringing back the real children of God, which was a little bit troubling, because I know through, you know, history that the people that Hitler targeted were Jews, blacks, and Catholics. Okay, so the Jews were the number one priority in Germany when they were targeted, and then the blacks and the Catholics kind of fell after that. Hitler had a real hatred for the Negro, mostly, I think, because he didn't understand them. This fan fiction, I want to call it, talks about how Hitler was claiming to save Germany from the Illuminati and the Freemasons. And we're talking about some serious, you know, controversial, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, it's fake. It is made up nonsense. Look, I don't know if the Illuminati exists. I know Freemasons do. I don't understand the Freemasons. A lot of people don't, especially if you're not in that organization, and I am not. But I can tell you something. Hitler was not trying to stop Freemasons and Illuminati people from trying to take over Germany. And that's basically what DeShaun Jackson was sharing. The quote that he shared was from I've actually found on this website. And there was a fella, I can't remember who, yesterday, who did some digging on the book, trying to figure out where DeShaun Jackson had this book from. And what we ended up finding was, this is a book that was published in 2018. I'm not even going to talk about the title or anything, but it is all about how white Jews have infiltrated America to keep a secret and are targeting the Negro black population. Basically. And so, in a whole, it was very anti-Semitic and very anti-Jew. And we're talking about stuff to stir up hatred for the Jews for no reason, because there's guarantee that's not happening. It's absolutely insane. Now, this is a troubling type of a situation. You've got a guy trying, and Jackson made the whole situation worse when he initially got hit with people going, "Well, wait, you hate Jews?" Because he clarifies, he says, "No, I don't have hatred in my heart." And then he basically scratches out, shades off a bunch of the statement, the quote that he thought was from Hitler, and pointed out like the worst, most anti-Semitic part of the whole thing, and said, "This is what I'm talking about." And we're going, I still don't understand what he was trying to say. I don't, because there's no way you could read the quote without understanding the context of what it's being talked about. It was honestly one of the strangest things I think I've ever seen. It bothered me as a Christian, as a Catholic. It bothered me as someone going, you would say, you would target the Jews and say that they are targeting you. You would accuse them, the white Jews in America, of depressing black people. It's depressing is probably a better word than depressing. Regardless, this is not okay in the slightest. So Jackson could have totally bowed out and said, you know what, this is a bad idea. But he clarified, he stood in, and then shared other things. Other anti-Jew things. The statement, the whole conspiracy, that's the word I was looking for earlier. The whole conspiracy surrounding this is absurd. To suggest that Hitler was trying to accomplish anything good with all of the actions and all the targeting and all the things that he was doing is pretty bad. If DeSean Jackson is really into this, and this is the other thing too, you have to understand about how difficult this was a situation for the Eagles to handle, because the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, he's a Jew, he's a white Jew. Howie Roseman, the general manager, he's a white Jew. So you're directly targeting the people that your bosses, the people that you work for, and saying, you and your people have oppressed my kind because of my skin color. There were a lot of people that felt that he should be cut from the team. And honestly, I'm considering all the circumstances, I'm surprised the Eagles didn't cut him. But we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We gotta take one here. So when we come back, we're gonna start getting into that. And probably gonna touch on a little bit more college football, because that's always a fun topic to get into. Next on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. Actually, if you are looking to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm right now and start figuring that out. It's easy. It's really easy to use. They set up everything for you. They promote your podcast, and you get paid for minimum viewer listenership. It's with no minimum viewer listenership. It's great. All right, so do it. Like right now. Anyways. Should DeSean Jackson have gotten cut for his comments? Clay Travis made a really good point on this yesterday. He said, we cannot set the precedent that people need to be blackballed for saying something stupid on social media. They should not lose their job for something that they so stupid that they said on social media. And to an extent, Clay is right. We can't do that. We can't fire somebody because of something that they said on social media. That's the whole purpose of social media, is to express your freedom of speech. If I disagree with you, shouldn't happen. That's it. It should be, I disagree with you. However, I do agree with the precedent that Clay Travis is trying to make. What I don't agree with is that the precedent hasn't already been set. So, there's a lot of people who think that, you know, my website, Draft Right, got hijacked from me by people. No, I left. I left unceremoniously. I had no choice. Because I had expressed political opinions that the majority of the NFL media don't agree with and don't want to hear. And because of that, they attacked my website every day, nonstop, about everything. So for me and for my friends, it was better for me to just walk away at that point. The president, it's not, I'm not the only person that's had to do this. I've watched a bunch of people do this. And people do get fired from their jobs when they say stupid things on social media. So that's the problem here, Clay, is that the precedent is already set. You get fired if you say something stupid on social media. You know, so Clay, the thing here with Drew Brees said nothing that was offensive, but people took it as offensive. He just simply said that he would not agree with someone kneeling during the national anthem. He would not do it. And he thought that they should stand. He was literally asked a pointed question about standing or kneeling during the national anthem in an interview with Yahoo Sports. Like, what did you expect Drew Brees to say? You want Drew Brees to lie? You want him to lie and say, yeah, no, I think it's cool for people to kneel during the national anthem. See, we're at a point right now in our society where people are better equipped and want to hear a lie. And when they hear the lie, they don't question it in the slightest. That's a problem. That is an absolute problem. And then when somebody tells the truth, and the truth of their opinion, what their opinion is, people freak out. People will freak out to the truth now. The insane thing about all of this is what they want us to perceive as normal. So, Clay, the precedent has already been set. Yeah, Drew Brees didn't get cut from the team, but he was pretty damn close to getting cut because his entire team came out against him. Jake Fromm, pretty damn close to getting cut. The NFL freaked out against him. DeSean Jackson, people came out and said he was right. Steven Jackson, former NBA player, former ESPN employee, said he's telling the truth. I didn't see anybody come out and defend Drew Brees. Just merely saying. It's absolutely incredible. So, should DeSean Jackson have gotten fired? If the precedent has already been set that if you do something that is racist, anti-Semitic, yeah, you should have gotten fired. DeSean says he's going to work on re-educating himself from Jewish things, blah, 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 apologized a couple times yesterday. I'm sure we have a few more apologies coming because the mob is never satisfied. But there's that. And this is an interesting turn, right? Like, this is showing that maybe not everybody's in with everything going on, because Black Lives Matter protests right now in a couple different cities have turned very anti-Semitic. So I guess there's a lot of people that are not on the same page here. Or if they are, I don't know if it was the side of the majority that got up about this. I don't know what happened. But this was coming. This was coming. Anyways, let's get into some college football. Politics. College football. It appears that the Ivy League is about to move not just college football, but all of their fall sports into the spring this upcoming year. So I suppose that means basketball will be moved as well. This is This is going to be interesting. Basketball is a much more difficult sport in college to mess around with and try to change the schedule. You know, because there's a whole lot more out-of-conference play. And when you look at college football, there's four games a year at tops that are out-of-conference. And there's a couple conferences out there right now that are playing three. You know, so you're not playing every conference and with the different matches and mix and match and all this and stuff. The SEC plays a couple random opponents, and then they play an FCS team. And so because basketball, the Division I level is so much bigger than college football in terms of the number of schools. It's about three times bigger. Your Ivy League is Division I at this point in basketball. So you're going to have to figure out how you're going to reschedule all that. And I guess you're going to cancel all your matches out of conference, which is difficult to do because there's so many of them. And you're going to play a conference schedule like you're doing football. I talked about this yesterday because of the football. And the Ivy League had done this like a week ago. I said this was a genius move on their part for business. I don't see how this is going to help basketball or really any other sport. It works for football. Because look, everybody's anticipating coronavirus, starting to anticipate coronavirus still being around. And here's the thing that I think people need to start understanding is that coronavirus is going to be around. We're going to learn to live with it, just like we've learned to live with the flu. Which, by the way, I don't know if y'all know this, but it's estimated by the CDC that 680,000 people die a year around the world from the flu. That's on average. That's not counting the bad years when the flu's bad. You know, we've learned to live with the flu. We're going to learn to live with coronavirus. It's going to happen. This coronavirus is not going to go away. It's just like any other virus out here in the world. It just happens to be more deadly on older people with pre-existing health conditions. It's the facts. Because look, we're getting all kinds of positive tests with younger people. Younger people are starting to get it more. And guess what? The death rate plummets. The death rate has dropped. Four people my age, between 18 and 25, have been killed by coronavirus. Four people in America. And I guarantee you, if you did some research and figured out who those four people were, they all had pre-existing health conditions. All right, so we're going to learn to live with coronavirus. It's just going to happen. By moving your basketball, taking all your out-of-conference games away, and your tournaments that you play, so on and so forth, you're going to move it all into when, like, March Madness. So it's not going to be a great business move like the football one was, because you're not going to have football on. Because I'm assuming that March Madness is still going to be on. That's assuming that March Madness doesn't get moved, doesn't get canceled, nothing like that. I don't see it getting canceled. I see us having a vaccine for, you know, coronavirus by then and whatever. So, this is not going to help the league in any sense from a business standpoint. And if anything, it's going to hinder it. Because if you ask me, would I rather go to an Ivy League basketball game or watch March Madness on my TV, on my couch? I'm going to watch March Madness on my couch. Hell, I might go to a bar. but I am not going to go to an Ivy League game when I've got that on. Oh, and by the way, if you pull out a vet and play a conference schedule, you're not going to get any March Madness, so you're not going to get that revenue either. I don't know if it's a great move for Ivy League. I thought the football was pretty good because it gives people football to go watch, you know? It's February. Somebody asks me, do I want to go to a football game? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to go watch a football game, even if it's Ivy League. Ivy League football is not usually that bad. Anyways, we'll see what happens if all of that goes down. There's a lot of the bigger conferences that are talking about pushing their season into, pushing their season into the spring and doing what Ivy League did. And I mentioned that yesterday too. Do you remember? I told you. I said, if they push their schedule, they're going to be credited, you know, as the team, as the people that figured out the college football system. But anyways, that's about all the time that we have for today, guys. You guys have a great rest of your Wednesday. It is the middle of the week. We are moving forward. We are about to get through all this. Enjoy it, guys. Enjoy it. Have a good time. Have fun. Be safe out there. God love you all.